WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Well, tonight is the night you've all been waiting for. Yes, it is the start, the beginning, the preface of the MSU football season. Oh my goodness. Are you ready? I'm ready. MSU versus Jacksonville State University. It's going to be a good one, folks. Well, if you're a Spartan, I think. me, first of all, I think it's going to be a blowout. I think MSU is going to roll in this game. But hey, college football is back, okay? And MSU is ready to try and bring some of that Rose Bowl magic to this season now. It's going to be a good one, folks. Again, we'll be taking your calls on how you think the MSU football year is going to go. 517-355-9527. We'll also talk about some Big Ten weekend predictions, discuss the Lions and Tigers as the Lions wrap up their preseason. And hey, folks, it's Friday. That means Reflection Friday as we take a look back at all of the more memorable sports stories that took place this week. But as custom here on the show, here's Alex Sharg with your current sports quick hit headliners.
Good afternoon and happy college football kickoff. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your current sports quick hit headliners for Friday, August 29th. High school football officially kicked off last night here in good old Mid Michigan. Here are a few of the scores. Williamson topped Lansing Eastern 54-6, East Kentwood topped Lansing Everett 31-7, Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary obliterated Bath 47-7, Perry topped Langsburg 21-6, Wild Lake Central topped Hazlitt 31-7, Portland beats Ovid Elsie 13-6, Grand Ledge tops Grand Rapids Forest Hill Central in a close one 28-24, Oakham is topped Mason 28-14, and finally, the high-powered St. John's offense topped East Lansing 45-20 in the first week of high school football. And tonight is the night as the number 8 Michigan State Spartans open the 2014 season in primetime against Jacksonville State at 7:30 p.m. in Spartan Stadium. The game is being televised on Big Ten Network. Be sure to tune in to 90.5 FM from 6 to 7 p.m. as Current Sports will be teaming up with the Current State crew for the WKAR, MSU, and Jacksonville pregame show. Mark Bayshore and Al Martin will be hosting and bringing former Spartan players, MSU football beat writers, and a dash of fun throughout the entire hour. Don't miss it. Also tonight will be the debut of some new digs for MSU mascot Sparty. The university changed the official green 4 years ago, adopting a darker shade. Sparty's armor is catching up and getting epaulets, which are decorative shoulder straps that incorporate the Spartan helmet logo, all thanks to the $15,000 fundraising drive by the Association of Future Alumni, which is home to the university's mascot program. He'll debut his new duds in his run onto the field prior to kickoff. And don't worry, Maize and Blue fans, we have your back as well. Michigan will kick off its season tomorrow at noon inside the Big House against familiar foe Appalachian State. You probably remember the first time the University of Michigan played Appalachian State, though Michigan fans would prefer you don't remember. It was opening weekend of 2007, and Appalachian State won 34-32 in what may have been the biggest college football upset ever and the lowest moment in the 135-year history of the Wolverine program. The most prominent Michigan fan site, MGo Blog, refers to the game as, quote, the horror, end quote. After David Price was lit up by the Yankees in Game 2, the Tigers won in walk-off fashion last night, 3-2 in the final game of the three-game series. With two outs in the ninth, Tiger catcher Alex Avila hit an off-the-wall walk-off single. Former Yankee Phil Koch got the win, and in his first start as a Tiger, Kyle Lobstein held the Yankees to 2 runs in 6 innings. Wow. Detroit is now a game and a half back of Kansas City for the division lead, clawing back and are tied with the Seattle Mariners for the second wild card spot. If the playoffs started today, the Tigers would be in. The kickoff of series with division opponent Chicago White Sox tonight at 8:10 in Chicago. The Detroit Lions blinked the Buffalo Bills 23-0 in the preseason finale last night. Many of the Lions' first stringers, such as Matthew Stafford, Reggie Bush, and Calvin Johnson, did not play. Lion quarterback Dan Orlovsky started the game and finished 7-for-11 for 39 yards passing, while quarterback Kellen Moore went 17-for-28 with 2 touchdowns for 178 yards. The Lions finished 3-1 on the preseason and kick off the regular season next week against the New York Giants for Monday Night Football on September 8th at 7. On Wednesday, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is working with the Players Association leader, DeMaurice Smith, to address the high number of players who had been arrested during the offseason. Thank goodness. He told CBS Sports, quote, "We are going to do some things to combat this problem because some of the numbers on DUIs and domestic violence are going up, and that disturbs me. When there's a pattern of mistakes, something has got to change," end quote. Player arrests have risen from 42 in 2010 to 48 through 7 months in 2012. There were 16 arrests for impaired driving violations in 2010, with 19 already this year. And finally, one of NFL's best is getting the hammer for taunting. Denver Bronco and Pro Bowl QB Peyton Manning was fined $8,268 for getting in the face of Houston Texans safety DJ Swearinger in a preseason game. Manning said, quote, "I accept the fine. It's money well spent," end quote. It's the first time in Manning's career that he has been flagged for taunting. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Friday, August 29th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show with the college football kickoff. Lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex Sharp, for bringing those current sports quick hit headliners. Again, the number to call if you want to call in and weigh in on anything we talk about on today's show, you know it, 517-355-9527. If you're not by a phone or can't call in, but you do have your internet browser up, you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and leave a comment there, or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, are you excited? Are you pumped? I'm ready. I hope you're ready. It is finally here, folks. The start of a new year for the MSU football team, the Rose Bowl champion defending MSU football team. They begin the season tonight at 7:30 as they take on Jacksonville State University down at Spartan Stadium underneath the lights. Man, oh man, a lot of buzz, a lot of attention surrounding this year's squad due to last year's success. As Alex talked about, we will be doing a pregame show here on WKAR on 90.5 FM with Current State. That's right, Current State. We're doing a pregame show. I, along with of course, Mark Bayshore, host of Current State, we'll be bringing you some great pregame coverage on the eve of the game. We have guests like John Madden, who is the MSU band director. He'll be joining us. James Moore, of course, former MSU running back, great for the 1988 MSU Rose Bowl champs. He'll be joining me to chat about, you know, just the, you know, just trying to defend a Rose Bowl championship and just the start of a new season from a player perspective. That should be a great discussion. We'll also play a throwback chat of Greg Ianni, who was the MSU deputy athletic director for Michigan State, as he talks about the MSU North End Zone project. I chatted with Greg earlier this year in May about how the project was coming and why this upgrade was certainly much needed. You also get to hear that. We also invite the Lansing State Journal sports writer Brian Callaway. Brian Callaway will join me to sort of dive into the X's and O's of the game, and we'll give our thoughts and predictions on what's going to happen tonight against MSU and Jacksonville State. And this game is also slated to have a little bit of rain, a little bit of the forecast. The forecast reads for this game tonight, a scattered thunderstorm. So those going out to the game, make sure you are dressed appropriately because you may get a little wet. So, but anyway, yeah, we have Brian Callaway on the show. And then, of course, we'll wrap up the show. And we even have a special feature that should be pretty cool that centers on two former mascots, former Sparties, if you will. And they'll dive into that as well. And that's pretty cool stuff. I guess it's pretty timely, seeing as though, as Alex just talked about, tonight will also be the debut of some new digs for Sparty. As the university, of course, changed the official Spartan green 4 years ago, adopting a darker shade. Looks as though Sparty is going to rock that tonight as well as, an armor upgrade. As so we'll get to see how Sparty's going to look. He's going to have a different look and a different feel tonight as he runs out of that tunnel prior to kickoff. Looking forward to seeing that. So it's going to be a fantastic show. Again, that will be from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. right before kickoff, ladies and gents. And you can catch that on 90.5 WKAR. It should be a great pregame show. I can't believe it's already here. We actually did this show last year and had a great time with it. Had a great time co-hosting with Current State's Mark Bayshore. So you don't want to miss any of that, folks. But again, on today's show, it's all about the start of college football for Michigan State. We are going to break down the entire season, give you, of course, a preview of tonight's matchup against Jacksonville State University. But we're going to go game by game, give our thoughts and predictions on how MSU is going to finish the season and whether or not we think that they're going to make that four-team playoff to possibly play for a national championship. So it's going to be all things college football here. It's going to be a fun show. Glad you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of it to wrap up your week on this spectacular Friday, folks. And again, if you're traveling to the game, you know, again, as I said, rain is expected for tonight's game at 7:30 against Jacksonville State. Again, plan accordingly, dress accordingly. You know, if you're tailgating, do it safely. You know, and if you're planning on parking on campus, good luck. You know, make sure you plan accordingly in that area as well, because boy, oh boy, it's going to be complete chaos trying to find a parking spot here on campus. So, but an exciting time. The buzz is certainly back. The buzz is in the air, and everybody's just ready to get this season started, including myself. So, again, folks, we want to get your thoughts, though. Again, we will be going game by game this season for Michigan State. We want to get your thoughts on the season. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We'll also talk really briefly about the Detroit Lions as they get a win to wrap up their preseason. The Detroit Tigers as they finish their series against the New York Yankees. And we'll also give you some Big Ten weekend predictions, because there's an entire slate of games happening this weekend. Of course, it being the opening weekend for college football. And, you know, again, give our thoughts on what we're looking forward to from the game tonight. And, you know, folks, again, folks, Current Sports TV aired last night. I sat down with a head coach of the Lansing Sexton football team, Dan Bogan. So glad. You know, I actually got a few tweets and a few emails from those who tuned in and enjoyed the episode. I got a lot of flack from you guys, from a few of you guys from who saw the MSU volleyball segment for Media Day as I went out there and was taught how to bump, set, and spike with the MSU volleyball team. You know, shout out to my partner, Corey Meister, who is an outstanding defender for the MSU volleyball team, and also Kathy George, who puts on this event every year, and it's really, really cool stuff. But, you know, we put together a pretty cool feature that you can also check out during an episode. But, hey, this is a special, you know, a special moment for all of you dedicated Current Sports Radio listeners who, you know, there's thousands of you out there. We really appreciate the support. And, you know, if it happened to be, you know, past your bedtime, if 10 o'clock was too late for you and you happened to crash early and didn't catch my sit-down with Dan Bogan, well, hey, you know that each and every Friday we play that interview right here on today's Current Sports. So before we get into the madness that is Michigan State college football and go game by game and give you our thoughts and predictions, if you missed last night's Current Sports TV, and also with high school football kicking off for a new season, you know, I happened to be out at the East Lansing and St. John's high school football game. I was doing play-by-play for 92.1 Big Country FM with my partner Eric Doc Love. It was a great time out there, you know, and it really sent chills up my spine seeing that very first kickoff happen for high school football, because for me, you know, of course I love college football. I love covering Michigan and Michigan State college football. I love going out to those games. I love, of course, covering the MSU basketball team and the, you know, the volleyball team. I love covering all MSU sports from around the area. But I tell you what, folks, there's nothing like covering high school sports in the area of Mid-Michigan. I mean, you guys go out tenfold each and every game. I mean, the atmosphere is unlike anything I've ever experienced. And this is a guy coming from, you know, the big city of Detroit, you know, where you think high school sports would be pretty big, but you know, it's nothing like this area, you know. So compliment to the area of Mid-Michigan. It is unlike anything else. And you know, I was down there yesterday, down at Jeff Smith Field at East Lansing High School, and it was packed brim to brim. I mean, St. John's, they travel always very, very well. That's where we were broadcast. That's the side we were broadcasting when we were on the away team side broadcasting the game. St. John's came out, the bleachers were packed, looking on the opposite side of the field. You know, East Lansing came out, and they were certainly ready. Both student sections losing their minds. Oh, boy, it was certainly a fun time, folks. And I'm just glad that football is back, not only for college with MSU, but also with high school. It's certainly a great time. Well, I look forward to bringing you one-of-a-kind coverage from WKAR's Current Sports day in and week out on Current Sports TV and radio from all of the high school football action. But, folks, again, last night I sat down with head coach Dan Bogan, head coach of the Lansing Sexton football team. Dan Bogan, again, he's a household name when you talk about high school football. He played high school football right here in the area. He's a running back. He was a running back for Lansing Eastern. Ended up getting recruited by Indiana University, and then from there he transferred to Western Michigan University, and then got his feet wet in the game of in the world of high school football coaching back in 1996. And folks, he has never left since that time. Okay, he's been the head coach of Lansing Sexton since 2002, and I sat down with Dan to talk about, you know, just a new season and the excitement of beginning of a new season, because there are really no limitations to how high you can dream at this point.
It's really exciting, you know, for the coaches, for our players, our families that are close to the program, whether they have kids that are in the program now or former Big Reds. It's exciting. You know, everybody, wants to know how we're going to be. You know, it's right. Like Friday Night Lights, you know, going win states. You
right.
Know? So it's an exciting time. And, you know, I know we have high expectations this year, and but we can only do one game at a time. Can't rush anything.
You talk about those high expectations this year. A lot of it had to do with how you guys performed last year, getting all the way to the Division IV semifinals, coming just short of that state championship goal. That's got to be fueling you guys this year, right, Dan?
I think so. Our kids are a lot more self-driven this year. They understand what's at stake, and they have a great opportunity. We play in a tough conference, the Blue, with a lot of teams with a lot of rich tradition. So it's not going to be any easier. So we have to play that much more better this year than we did last year.
How many returning seniors do you have on the squad?
Well, actually, returning seniors, we probably have about 22, but we have 18 returning starters.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. So looking pretty solid this year then, huh?
I think so.
When you guys lost to Marine City down at the big, you know, Ford Field, you know, the lights are on, you guys are down there and coming just short of that goal of getting to the state championship. I mean, what went through your head during that moment, and what did you tell your team after the game, Dan?
You know, I just told them, I said, how proud I was of them. You know, we haven't been to the semi since 1989. One of our coaches, Jonnell Davis, who's my defensive coordinator, he actually played on that team in 89. So for us to make it to the semis, it was a great opportunity. We had a great run last year, and I didn't want them to hold their heads down. We made a great run. We lost to a better team that day, and they went on to win the state championship, Marine City. And I said, we're going to try our hearts out to get back here next year and make it even further.
Is there any sort of consolation prize when looking at that you guys did lose to the eventual state champions?
No, it's not.
Not at all.
Not at
I
all.
I love that.
Yeah, we wanted to be there. We wanted to win the state championship. And that, you know, it's no secret. That's our goal. But, you know, we know we have to do one game at a time. And again, the road is not going to be easy. It starts with Detroit East English on Saturday, who's a very rich in tradition football team also.
Dan, do you think this team has the potential to be better than last year's? I know that's saying a lot, because mm-hmm. the only loss you guys did have was against Marine City down at Ford Field.
Well, I definitely believe they could be better. You know, we do have to fill some holes in some really important places with Jay Alvarez, who played tight end and linebacker for us. And he was all conference at tight end. Javon Cooney, who was probably 40% or 30% of our offense last year, mm-hmm. Set the school record for 956 yards receiving and had, I want to say, 12 or 14 touchdowns. Really special players at Western Michigan now. So we have some holes to fill, but I do believe we have the players to fill them. And We're going to find out Saturday if we're ready to take that step into to that next phase, and I think we are.
Oh, that's exciting stuff. Well, I can't wait. Again, the season kicking off starting tonight. Tonight is the inaugural start, I guess you could say, for all of high school football right here in Mid-Michigan. You gotta love that exciting stuff. Now, Dan, I want to shift gears really quickly and talk about your playing career, you know, dating back, of course, to your days at Lansing Eastern High School. And, you know, you went to Indiana University, transferred to Western Michigan University. I mean, what do you miss about your playing days?
Oh, man, I miss the camaraderie with your teammates. I miss my coaches. I miss the meetings. I miss all those little things that you would think that they were tedious back then, and you understand how important they are. I missed seeing my skill level change and becoming a better player. You know, so those things I do. I miss the competition. You know, the butterflies. You know, that type of excitement before big games and chasing championships and just competing.
Do you still get those type of feelings now being a coach, though? I mean, before a big game, do you still get the butterflies? I know it's not like as a player,
right,
but still.
Right. You know, you get them a little bit. You definitely, it's more out of your hands now because you can't control as much as you could as a player.
Right.
But you still get them a little bit.
God, I love that.
I do love it.
Oh, boy, it's nothing like it. Now, you actually transferred from Indiana to Western Michigan. You played running back then. Mm-hmm. Talk about why that transfer happened. It's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah, I was playing the first four games at Indiana, did really well under Coach Bill Mallory. And I got hurt in the Ohio State game my freshman year. And Anthony Thompson, who we were both freshmen, together, and he's a good friend of mine to this day. He's a pastor in Indiana now, mm-hmm. And coached under Cam Cameron. Also, Anthony did. He was behind me at that time. He came in an Ohio State game and played phenomenal, and the rest is history. So I could kind of see the handwriting on the wall that I would be bagging him up if I continued to stay there.
Right.
And so I decided to transfer. And I had a good career at Western Michigan. And even though I did not transfer because of any coaching or anything like that, but I wanted to play. I played all my life as a starter, and I wanted to be a starter. And that's why I made the transfer.
So, Dan, at what moment did the coaching bug bite you?
Actually, after I was done with my playing days and thought that's all, you know, I was pretty much good with being done with football. And I talked to Coach Ditsworth, who was the head coach at Eastern, when I came home. And I asked him, I said, well, you need any help, Coach? He was just starting off at Eastern. And he said, yeah, I'd love to have you out here. And so my wife gets on me all the time because I think the year we got married, I cut our honeymoon short because I wanted to get back for the first day of Tua Days.
No, I'm pretty sure she wasn't happy about that.
I've made up for it over the 20-year period. So,
good.
So, she still gives me.
So you couldn't. Where was the honeymoon at?
It was in Toronto.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so
nice.
We did have a good 5 days, but she wanted the other two or three. So
right.
But, you know, I told her, I said, I need to be there for the first day. You know, I didn't want to miss any practices. And she respected that. She knows how I am about that.
That's good. Well, you are one dedicated man, Dan. And I tell you what, your plate continues to pile up, if you will. You are not only the head football coach at Sexton, but you now move into a new role as the new athletic director over there. I mean, how are you juggling both of those, and how has that been so far?
You know, it is a challenge, and I'm loving it. I'm learning a lot from a lot of athletic directors who are mentoring me, and understanding that, you know, definitely trying to stay ahead of everything because things can come at you pretty quickly as an athletic director, and making sure all your programs are moving in the right direction. And you know, but I have good people that are working with me And I have a great administrative team, and Mrs. Nowaker and Mr. Williams, who give me the leniency to make sure I've gotten everything I need and to take care of business also.
One of the big moves that you you recently made, now moving into this new role as athletic director, was, of course, bringing back Carlton Valentine to Lansing Sexton as the head boys basketball coach. Carlton, a famed name when it comes to boys basketball around the area. We had him on the radio show when he made the move to retire. We had him back on the show when he made the move to come back, and he talked about a phone conversation that you two had. How did that conversation go, and how did you coax him into coming back? That's amazing.
Well, you know, having some conversations with Carlton in the past, you know that he loves coaching. He mm-hmm. loves the game of basketball. He loves working with kids, and I couldn't think of anyone else that we would rather have back than Carlton. But I kept coming at him, and mm-hmm. and you know, I could tell that he wanted to coach still, but his concerns were his family, and that was understandable. Making sure that he got the blessing of Denzel, Drew, and Kathy, his wife. And I understood that. After talking to him again, and you know, continuing to talk to him about it. He said that he would return, and you know, I knew that the itch was there. And,
yeah, you could feel it.
I could feel it, and you know, I think his family did too. And he's a high school coach. He's a great high school coach, and a future Hall of Fame high school coach, I believe. And I was happy to be able to get him back.
You were pretty adamant, it seems as though, in that recollection there. How many phone calls did it take, Dan?
I don't know. I think I could have been caught up under some stalking charges, so I won't reveal it on TV.
He does not give up. He does not give up, folks, okay? Oh, boy. And I'm looking at the other end of this. Of course, Ron Banks. This is Ron Banks' first year mm-hmm. as head coach for Lansing Sexton's boys basketball team. What things just didn't pan out for him while being with the program?
Well, you know, I think, you know, it's tough for any first-year coach, you know, to, you know, take over a program after someone like Carlton. But Ron's a great guy. We wish him the best. I think there's some things Ron would definitely tell you he would do differently. But right now we had to make the decision to move to another coach. Ron was released, but Ron's going to do great things, just not at this time at Sexton High School.
Gotta love that. All right, folks. Again, folks, if you want to weigh in on anything that we discuss here on today's show, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, Dan, before we get into the 12th man, just briefly, going back to the football realm of things, again, you know, you coming off a season now with a lot of expectations. You going back to those expectations. I mean, a lot of people expect you to possibly get back to the Big Dance and win a state championship here. For you as a coach, does the preparation change at all, embarking on a season with these type of expectations, or does the preparation sort of stay the same?
Well, I think the preparation stays the same. We have to make sure our mentality stays the same. Because being able to handle success is mm-hmm. always an issue with high school kids, college, as well as professional athletes. Being able to handle success properly and understanding that there's, you know, now we're not sneaking up on anybody. They know we're coming. And
right.
Their preparation has changed also. So making sure that we're mentally focused and ready for the battle, I think, is the biggest thing.
Season starts this week, folks. And, of course, we always love to bring here on the show, Dan, topics that we really dive into and debate on the radio show Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on WKAR AM 870. Tune in, folks. But one of the big discussions we had was, of course, of Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon mm-hmm. Bell, running back, former MSU running back, great running back now for, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who was caught with marijuana in his car hours before a preseason flight to a game. Le'Veon has had a clean track record throughout mm-hmm. most of his playing career up until this point. For you, going back, you know, to your playing career, even in college, mm-hmm. how did you stay away from those type of distractions, and what do you think the biggest challenge in that regard is?
Well, I think the microscope is bigger on the players even more, and it was big then, but it was even more. It's even more now, and unfortunately, I don't think some of our players are understanding what's in front of them, the opportunities they have, and I believe he's a good young man from what I've heard from people about him, and he made a mistake, and I'm hoping that they'll get some good people around him, some veteran leadership, and mentor him and help him through this time so he doesn't make these mistakes again. But I know the NFL is doing everything they possibly can to provide player development for these young players entering into this new phase of life. And it's a huge responsibility on college athletes as well as professional athletes and high school athletes to do the right things and to stay out of situations that are going to be harmful to their character, their family's character, and their team's character. Right. So
exactly. That's so true. And I tell you, again, one decision in the blink of an eye can change your national perception.
That's
just
right.
Like that. So, all right, Dan, thanks a lot for waiting on that. You got 5 more minutes?
Yes.
Stick around, Dan, because the 12th man starts right now. All right, well, it is time for the 12th man, and this week, Dan, we are going to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also my Twitter page at AlMartinWKR to snag down some questions. Many people got some interesting questions for you. You ready?
Okay, great.
Here we go. First question comes from Phil in Lansing. Oh, this is a kind of a mushy, lighthearted question here. Gotta love this. You and your wife have been married for 20 years. Mm-hmm. How did you guys meet, and how much has her support meant to you?
Wow. We met it was in the Lansing Mall. I saw her walking. I was actually on spring break. I think I was 19. And I saw her sipping on a Pepsi, and she was heading to Foxmoor. And I approached her, said hi, and
A little game.
Yeah,
so you approached her.
Well, my game. She kind of shot it down because she kind of was like hi and kind of kept walking. I was like, wait a minute. So I saw where she was heading, and I talked to her again a little later. And then she stood me up for a date that night.
Oh, no, she stood you up.
She stood me up. So
I
hadn't been stood up before, so I was like, okay, I'm not talking to her ever again.
The ego got shot.
Yeah, my ego was destroyed. So I said, I need to just recover, get back to school. she called me later on to tell me, maybe a couple days later, and my roommate was like, well, you know, Sherry's on. I said, he said, you know, she wants to speak to you. And so I said, hello. And she stated, she said, well, I was kind of embarrassed. And I said, why? I said, we're just going to go to the movies. And she said, well, before you take me out, you would have to meet my parents.
Oh, man.
So she had the old school parents.
Wow.
Which I love dearly, Mr. and Mrs. Watson.
On the first date?
On the first date, I would have to met the parents. And so I had never had that happen before.
Yeah.
Or been obligated to, I got to meet parents before I take a date.
Yeah.
I said, wow, that was refreshing. And we've been together ever since. I'm 45 years old. We've been together since I was 19.
That's great stuff. Yeah. I don't know if I could handle that. On the first date, meeting the parents,
right.
I'd have been like, oh, I throw in the towel.
Yeah, yeah.
That's intimidating.
Yeah, but, you know, she was definitely worth it.
Gotcha. Well, I'll tell you what, that was such a good answer. I think we're out of time for the 12th
okay.
man.
Damn,
that was a good answer. That's all we need, man.
All right.
I remember last year during the football season, I don't know if Sherry knew this, but the cameras are rolling. I'm interviewing you during a post-game interview.
Right.
And she comes up. It's a big game. Gives you the biggest smooch. We got to dig that footage up and show it here on the show because, man, oh, man, it was a great moment. And she's great.
She is. She's going to hurt me if you show that footage.
Really? Well, I'm sorry. Well, next time I see Dan, he may be on crutches, okay?
Hopefully Dan is okay. Hopefully you're okay, Dan, because we did show, if you heard it in the background during the interview, we did show the moment when Dan Bogan and his wife, his beautiful wife, Sherry, kissed right in the middle of my interview. A very touching moment. Sherry, hey, forgive me. Forgive me, okay? And forgive Dan, please. Because I believe they have a game tonight. Sexton actually plays tonight out at Wayne State University. So there you have that. Again, folks, if you missed that episode, you can catch not only that interview, but so much more by going to video.wkar.org and clicking on Current Sports TV to watch last night's Current Sports TV episode with guest Dan Bogan and every single episode we've done in Current Sports TV history. Okay, well, we're going to hit our first break. When we come back, it's time to break it down, my friends. Yes, we're going to break down game by game the MSU football season and some other Big Ten games throughout the weekend as well. College football starts, baby. I can't believe it's already here. Don't touch that dial. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. On this Friday, Alex Shard likes to call it Funky Friday as we play a little bit of funk each and every Friday here on the show. Gotta love that. All right, folks. Well, we are so glad that you have tuned in to today's show. Again, we are just about, what, 6 or so hours away from the start of the MSU football season. They will be taking on, of course, Jacksonville State University. If you don't know that by now, I mean, hey, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's excitement. Excitement is through the air. I'm ready. I hope you're ready. And, you know, on the eve of now the, you know, the hours of eve, I guess you could say, before the MSU football season kicks off, we are actually going to break down game by game our thoughts and predictions on this year's MSU football season. We encourage you to also chime in, and if you agree or disagree with any of us, call in and tell us why or why not. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. How you doing, Alex? You good over there, man? Can you believe it's already here?
Good. I'm smelling the fresh air in East Lansing, ready for some football, man.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm smelling a little bit of rain, too. So, people, if you're going tonight, bring a rain jacket. Bring a poncho.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be scattered thunderstorms throughout tonight. So, hopefully it isn't too bad. We don't have any rain gear for the camera, so I'm probably going to have to go dig up a trash bag here after the show. But, man, I just can't believe it's already here, man. So, you ready to dive into this now? Let's dive into
this
year's
season. Let's do it. Excited. Let's go.
Let's do it. All right. Well, I guess we can start with game one. Right off the top of the schedule, Michigan State taking on Jacksonville State tonight at 7:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. I think we're both in agreement here. It will blow my mind if we're not, but Michigan State kind of rolls in this one. I'm going Michigan State 37-13.
That's funny. Okay, yeah. So, you know, we were talking yesterday what we think the score will be. You said in the 40s. I said the 50s.
Yeah.
Now, with the rain, you have to let me change my score here because
the rain
totally screws it up.
I'm going 37.
If it wasn't raining, I think the offense would have put up 50 points. But now that it's raining, I think the score will be 38-13.
Oh, okay. Wow. So that's only a point difference here. I'm going 37-13. Okay. But, you know, I just think, though, you know, a game like this, and the reason why Jacksonville State was slated on the schedule right before this Oregon game is because Jacksonville State, this game is sort of going to be kind of a dress rehearsal for Oregon, if you ask me, Alex. Because, you know, JSU, they love to play a fast-paced game and spread it out. That's exactly what Oregon likes to do, okay? And, you know, if you look at it, you know, JSU, they're returning 9 starters. They have a lot of, you know, a lot of guys who are pretty speedy and like to get out in the open field. This team, you know, again, this is a different level, though, when you talk about Oregon and Jacksonville State. But as far as that offensive scheme is concerned, this team has a few similarities offensively on how they run their offense compared to the Oregon Ducks. This will be kind of a preview for
spread, and those spread offenses Michigan State has typically had trouble with. We saw when Braxton Miller tore apart the defense in the Big Ten Championship game. But yeah, like you said, good test run, a similar kind of offense. I think this is exactly what they need in this first game. Now, a lot of people are talking, well, Jacksonville State, they got 9 starters, they could upset. Please forget about it.
Who's saying
forget
that?
Forget about it. I've heard, like, you know, it could happen. It could happen. Look at Appalachian State.
And, really?
You know, you've heard it.
That's just those funny cigarettes. You know those funny cigarettes?
Yeah.
That's all that is, okay?
The problem is this isn't at all the same kind of team Appalachian State was. I mean, Appalachian State, I mean, that was a very superior FBS team.
Yeah.
Not only that, I mean, Jacksonville State lost to Florida. They couldn't beat Arkansas. They couldn't beat any of the
good
teams.
They're playing the defending Rose Bowl champs, for goodness sake.
Not even that. It's not like they've had any legitimate upsets before.
Exactly.
It's a first-year head coach. I mean, come on. The guy hasn't played one game yet. Coach a game.
It's a no-brainer. So. 37-13 for me, 38-13 for you. Okay, next game, Oregon. I think MSU loses this game. I think this will be their only loss that Michigan State has on their record. I think that Oregon is going to be a close game. And again, this is a game that, as far as the national scene and national perception goes, for MSU to make possibly that four-team playoff, they have to go into Oregon and not get blown out.
Right.
They can make it close. If they make it close and rally the rest of the year, hey, I think definitely. I think they're in the four-man playoff. But if they get blown out here, it could hurt them a little bit. I don't think that does happen, though. I think Oregon wins 30-27, a close game. And again, this is an early litmus test, a good early litmus test to see where Michigan State is collectively in the mindset approaching this year as well. Playing the elite, dealing with the pressure of being on the national spotlight. Do you live up to the moment, or do you crouch into a little ball? I think they do live up to the moment, but they do so and just come up a bit short.
Yeah, this is obviously going to be an offensive juggernaut of battle. I mean, Marcus Mariota, that guy's probably going to tear up the defense. I mean, regardless of how good MSU's defense is, I mean, we saw, you know, going into the Big Ten Championship game, Braxton Miller did tear up MSU's defense. So no matter what, I think it's going to be a high-powered offensive game. I'm looking for a final score of about 38-34 Oregon in this one, Al.
Yeah, but even so, going back to the Ohio State game that you just mentioned in the Big Ten Championship, Braxton Miller, he was able to shake loose a little bit and show what he can do. But I think that the key in that game was MSU, they got stops when they needed stops.
Right.
And those situational, you know, plays where MSU had to come up big, they certainly did. And I think that could certainly be a case that you can argue in this one as well. Now, if you look at – now, if anything, though, Alex, when looking at this, if you look at the stats here, the Oregon Ducks defense was terrible last year. They gave up 370.1 yards, an average of that many yards allowed in 2013. Can you believe that? 370, that's crazy. So if you're Connor Cook, Jeremy Langford in the offense, you got to be licking your chops at that notion.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? You have a year under their belt. Obviously, there's a lot to prove over at Oregon with that new facility that they just built over there with all those new renovations. I mean, especially with all the defensive recruits. I mean, they actually stole some local Detroit talent. If you follow all the recruiting guys out there, they stole some local Detroit talent out there on the defensive side of the ball. So this Oregon team is definitely looking to get a lot better on defense. I wouldn't doubt them just because of last year.
What do you think the score is going to be?
I think, like I said, 38-34 Oregon. I think it's going to be high scoring in the upper 30s. I think you're right. I'm going to have one more loss for Michigan State other than Oregon. But
I'm interested to see what that is.
We'll see.
MSU and Eastern Michigan University. I just think, you know, this will be an easy one for them as well. I'm going to go 44-10 in this one. I think that'd be a cupcake game for MSU. They've owned the Eagles in the past, and I think it continues this year.
Yeah, and you know what? Eastern Michigan has done a lot more to get better.
They have
improved every year.
They're even going as far as painting their entire field gray.
That's right. Yep. And, you know, it might throw Michigan State off a little bit at the beginning, but no, I agree. I think Michigan State will.
But that's a home game for MSU.
Love Ron English. Yeah. But, you know, it's going to be Michigan State still to lose.
Yeah, that game would be at home. That starts actually after Oregon. That starts a four-game home stretch. Well, three-game home stretch for the Spartans, that second home game being MSU versus Wyoming. If you look at Wyoming, they returned 9 starters on defense, but hey, I think MSU kind of rolls in this one as well, 33-10.
I'm going to say 49-10.
49-10, gotcha. 49-10. Okay, so we're on the same page right now. All right, let's move on now to wrap up this three-game home stance with EMU, Wyoming, and then finally Nebraska. This is going to be a really, 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 really good game, I think, Alex. I think it's going to be one of the most entertaining games out of this entire schedule for Michigan State. I think this one is going to be really close. And I was almost about to choose Nebraska in this game. And I think this may be your second loss here. But I'm going to choose MSU to pull it out, even though you're going against a very, very good running back in Amir Abdullah, who's been spectacular for this team. Nebraska, they have a lot of offensive talent and can score. It's going to be a good game. I just think MSU, again, to prove themselves that they're worthy of being in that playoff, I think they do get this win, 24-21 MSU.
Okay, yeah. And obviously Nebraska last year, we saw what happened with them. But you know what? Martinez is back. He's back at it again. And I'm going to say that Michigan State does hold on in this one. That's not going to be my loss out.
Ah, okay.
I'm going to say that they do hold on with this game, 23-20.
Really?
Michigan State, yeah.
Okay. So we're pretty much on the same page right now. Okay.
Yeah, but the thing about Nebraska is they have them at home, and Michigan State at home for the last 3 years have been stellar. So
yeah. And you talk about Taylor Martinez, though. Taylor Martinez, he actually is he's a free agent in the NFL right now, so they don't have
him
coming
back. That's right.
Yeah, they don't have Taylor Martinez, even though it was fun watching him play, but they don't have Taylor Martinez coming back this year.
Who's their quarterback they have this year?
I'm not sure. That's a good way. I have to Google that right now. But looking at Taylor Martinez in the NFL. All right, well, continuing on here, Michigan State and Purdue now. Michigan State on the road playing Purdue. Purdue, if you remember last year, I remember watching this game last year, saying to myself, oh my goodness, I mean, this is very impressive. Purdue actually only lost 14-0 last year. They made it very close.
That game was just
MSU,
pitiful, though.
Yeah, MSU seemed to struggle. It seems as though the MSU offense, this is during that kind of period when they were trying to find themselves to see who they really were, you know, going through the whole quarterback situation and whatnot. They held MSU just to a 14-0 win last year and put up a pretty good fight. I think they do put up a little bit of a fight here, but I think MSU does win more than I think they win here 24-17. I'm going to say 24-17 in this game.
That's an interesting prediction.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be way more. Did you know that Purdue, Al, has lost 12 straight games to FBS opponents? 12 straight games, Al.
Yeah.
So with that riding in, Purdue's looking to bounce back. They still have a lot of work to do. I mean, they got new coaching and things like that, and you know, they're going to try out some new systems. I was reading a little bit this year, but no, I think it's going to be a little bit more than that. I think it's going to be a heavy win, 31-14.
31-14, gotcha. And now, you know, on the road, it will be different for the Spartans, I think, again, who avenge that partly performance from last year. I could see a breakout here, but I think, you know, Purdue is one of those gritty teams that, you know, when you at least expect them to come out, and if you do give a prediction, they come out and do just the exact opposite, and they do put up a bit of a fight. So again, I'm going 24-17, but we both agree that the Spartans do win in that one. All right, moving right along now. MSU and Indiana. MSU and Indiana. Indiana's next on the schedule. This is another road test, a 3:30 afternoon game on the road for MSU. I think MSU wins this one 37-21. I'm going 37-21. Spartans win. Indiana's defense, not great. I don't think they'll be great this year. I think Connor Cook and Langford and Lippitt, I think, especially in that secondary, I think MSU is going to burn that secondary a few times. And, you know, Indiana's receivers on offense, they've lost a few receivers, a few star receivers that were key contributors to that team last year. I just don't think they have enough to compete with the Spartans.
All right, you say 37-21. I think that's a little bit too big of a spread for that game. I mean, the Indiana offense, I think they're a dark horse this year. I really like them. I think it's going to be a little bit closer. I'm going to go with 37-27. But like you said, you know, Michigan State really has probably this one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just about that Indiana defense. That Indiana defense is not going to be great this year, I don't think. All right, moving on now. Here's the matchup that everybody's going to be talking about here in Michigan. Of course, the bitter rivalry, Michigan versus Michigan State. Yes, again, this is going to be two consecutive home games for the Spartans, so they have an advantage here for, yet again, that home field advantage playing the Wolverines. This is going to be a good game. I think it's going to be closer than what a lot of people are predicting out there, even though Michigan State has completely owned the Wolverines, especially last year with negative 48 yards on the offensive end. I mean, it was just a complete beatdown of the Wolverines at Spartan Stadium last season. But, you know, I think Michigan offensive line will improve. I mean, it can't get much worse than it was last year. So they do make some strides to improve. I think Gardner does get going with that more time in the pocket. I think Cook and Langford burn holes in that Wolverines defense. I don't think that Wolverine defense is great. And the reason why I think it's going to be a close game and the Wolverines are going to put up a fight, simply to, you know, due to the word of desperation. Desperation right now for Brady Hoke. He's on the hot seat now. You cannot put up a pitiful effort against the Spartans.
And Al, actually, the other night I spoke with my friend who is the team manager of Michigan football, and I asked him about the offensive line. Was it really just players not making plays? Was it more of a coaching decision? He said Al Borges was just awful, that players really weren't set up to make plays, and that the offensive line, the players are really there, they're really happy. But you know what, Al? You're going to probably shake your head.
Wow.
I'm going to say Michigan beats Michigan State.
Are you serious?
At home.
You got to be kidding me.
I think Devin Gardner, I think they're going to come up with some schemes against the defense because of last year.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, but I think that Michigan will pull it off because
Who do you think's the better team, Nebraska or Michigan?
I think Nebraska. But here's why I think Michigan is going to win.
Okay, why?
Michigan State, okay? You know, they have so many straight games week to week to week, and this is right before the bye week.
You're talking about Michigan State?
Michigan State. I think they're going to be a little bit gassed. I think they're going to be prepping a little bit because, you know, they got Ohio State the next week. They're going to Maryland. You know, they got a lot of other games going after that. I think they're just going to be a little bit gassed at this point. They're going to need the bye week. I say they lose against Michigan, and then they win all the rest. I'm going to say low scoring, 17-14, Michigan pulls it off.
I just don't see that. Because like you said, Nebraska is certainly a better team than Michigan, I think, this season. And you think that, you know, even though Michigan's, like you just said, is not a better team.
Hey, and a rivalry game, anything could happen. And that's what it comes down to.
So you're speaking more on the rivalry, the desperation for Michigan to perform now. You think they're going to live up to the moment rather than not live up to the moment, so to speak.
Nebraska's obviously the better team right now.
But you talk about the buys for Michigan State. I think the buys for Michigan State come exactly at the right point, though. Because if you look at the two buys that Michigan State has, they take one right after the Oregon game. A game that, again, has a lot of attention just because you're playing Oregon. The Oregon Ducks, they're good every single year, a national powerhouse in college football. A game like that Michigan State hasn't been in quite some time to throughout their regular season, that coming, especially at the beginning of the year, they're going to need some time to maybe think about if they do lose that game, which many people are predicting, including you and I. If they do lose that game, they're going to need some time to get their mind right. So I think that 2 weeks off right there is perfect. And I think, you know, if you look at it here, playing your rivalry, a game that's really hyped up, you know, getting a bye there is also key, too. So I think they come right at the right times after you play your rivalry in Michigan and right after you play a big game like Oregon. Hey, whoever made the schedule this year, hey, kudos to them. I think those
happen.
Good
for the rivalry. But after Oregon, you got six straight games in a row, Al. Six straight games. Yeah, That's a lot of games.
Yeah, but three of them are at home. Then you take a two-game road trip and you wrap up this series, you know, at home against your rivalry. So I think Michigan State is going to be fine here.
Yeah. No, it makes sense to get it after Oregon, Al. Like, I get what you're saying, where after the rivalry,
exactly,
you need to cool off. But, I mean, most buys are after week 3 and 4 because then you got 4, 5, and 5 straight games.
Yeah, but after playing a team like Oregon, you may need some rest.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying with Michigan, right? Yeah. You got six straight games. It's the last game before the bye. They might be a little gassed at that point.
Wow.
I think that might be a loss for him.
So I'm sure a lot of people have some thoughts on that. So you think Michigan is going
to
pull this
out? I was the only one to call Notre Dame over Michigan State 2 years ago.
All right.
I was the only one to pick Notre Dame. Last year, I was the only one to pick Notre Dame. I think Michigan is going to beat Michigan State. I'm probably going to be the only one on that.
I'll be the only one. Yeah.
I'm pretty confident with
it. I think you're definitely in the ocean by yourself paddling, brother, on that one. All right. Well, Michigan State and Ohio State now. That'll be a home game for Michigan State. I'm going to say, you know, and now with the Braxton Miller injury, you know, Michigan State definitely trying to show that they, you know, in many people's eyes, Michigan State is now the Big Ten favorite due to Ohio State losing Braxton Miller. And for Michigan State to prove that, they have to get this win over Ohio State. They're at home, and this game will be telling because if Michigan State does beat Ohio State, I think they're a clear lock to win that division and go on to play in that Big Ten championship game out in Indy. Michigan State wins 30-24.
All right, very good. Yeah, I'm going to say Michigan State as well. I'm going to say 27-21. Michigan.
Interesting. Okay, so Michigan State there as well. Okay, Michigan State and Maryland now. They're going to be on the road facing Maryland. A new dog to the Big Ten. Maryland's defense is suspect for me. C.J. Brown, I love watching him. He's a solid quarterback, I think. I just think by the time Michigan State and Maryland meet up by on the end of this season, I just think Maryland is going to be beat up by the time they meet MSU, so much so that MSU is going to go. I think this also could have potential to be a very, very close game. I think MSU wins by a touchdown, 27-20.
Very close. You think it's going to be that close?
Yeah, I think it's going to be that close.
Very good. I'm going to say 31-17.
31-17, huh? Okay.
I think the Michigan
State
offense.
I think C.J. Brown's going to put up some points.
Michigan State offense, they have a lot to prove this year.
All right. Okay. Well, Michigan State nonetheless winning.
Oh, you're going on the defense side of the ball. You think C.J. is
going to put up? I think C.J. is going to have a solid game.
Okay.
I think he's going to have a solid game.
On a Panarduzzi defense, they don't let up more than 21 points very easily.
Yeah, but again, Maryland's defense, though, is so suspect. Both offenses for Maryland and MSU are going to have a solid day, I think. All right, well, moving on now. MSU and Rutgers. I just think Rutgers, I just don't think they're going to have a good debut season, Alex. I just don't think they are. I think it's going to take them this year and maybe next to sort of, you know, build up to Big Ten competition.
My good buddy Fino, who's from New Jersey, he's on Jack's show on the Drive. Yeah. He really likes Rutgers. I mean, they won their first game.
He likes Rutgers to win this game?
No, not to win this game. But he likes Rutgers this year. He thinks they're actually going to have a good year, and that's why
I don't know, man. I think they're going to struggle. I think they're going to struggle. I think MSU rolls 30-13.
Okay. I'm going to say they're going to roll 35-10.
Gotcha. So you also agree. Yeah, the Scarlet Knights are going to struggle there. Right. I think we should change their name to the Scarlet Frights this year because they're going to be frightful to watch, I think, this season. Yeah. Okay, MSU and Penn State to wrap up the season. It's going to be
Close game. That's
going to
be close.
Going back to that Rutgers game, that's going to be also senior day. I want to take note of that. It's going to be senior day for Michigan State, possibly saying goodbye to guys like, you know, Shalik Calhoun, you know, who probably will make his NFL dreams come true and so on and so forth. But to wrap up the season, Michigan State playing Penn State, finishing the deal here, I think Cook outplays Christian Hackenberg. I think Hackenberg, you know, possibly has gets two touchdowns out of the game, but overall I think MSU wins 23-14 in this one. 23-14.
I'm going to like them 28-14.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, let's talk some Big Ten games, Al.
Yeah, definitely. Let's run them down really quick.
All right. Yeah, we got first off, obviously, aside from Michigan State, Jacksonville State. How about Minnesota at TCU? TCU playing two quarterbacks in this one, Al. Two QBs will be playing for TCU. What do you think?
Yeah, that is very, very true. Well, and hold on. What matchup is this again?
This is Minnesota at TCU, away at TCU.
Well, actually, no. Minnesota actually played on Thursday against Eastern Illinois.
Oh, I think this is for next week.
Yeah, that may be next week. You're good. You're good. Yeah, Minnesota had a game on Thursday against Eastern Illinois.
That's right.
That was 42-20. And also Rutgers played Thursday.
Since we're talking about, what do you think about that? Just early about TCU next week.
Well, yeah, I think that'll be a good game. I could see TCU winning that one. But yeah, I tell you what a debut game for Minnesota though. I mean, 42-20 in their opener, but it's against Eastern Illinois. So I mean, what much can you say there?
Yeah.
But you know, moving on. What about U of M and Appalachian State? What do you think on that?
Yeah, I think U of M will come back in that one and prove fans.
I think so too. I'm going with U of M there. Penn State and UCF. What do you think?
Yeah, in Ireland, Al, the volcano actually might postpone the game. But
exactly.
You know what? I think Penn State's going to pull it out. UCF, great running game. Always a great running game at UCF. A lot of pro talent coming out of there, including a former Lion. But you know what? I think Penn State's going to hold on.
Yeah, I think they'll hold on too. Wisconsin, LSU. I think LSU is. That's going to be a good game. A very good game, I think.
That's Wisconsin's only test this season. Only test.
I think LSU wins that game.
Yeah.
30-27.
I think LSU will win. I think Wisconsin will win out all the other games they play.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Without a doubt.
Hey, Al, how about this game? Ohio State at Navy. Navy with the Heisman Trophy candidate this year.
Yeah.
Keenan Reynolds. I don't know if you've heard about him.
I have not heard much about him.
For 31 rushing touchdowns, most ever by a quarterback. Most ever.
Wow.
By a QB.
That's fine and dandy. I just think Ohio State, even with losing Braxton Miller, you're playing
first
Navy
game,
still.
Though. First game with the new quarterback, game. That might test them.
Yeah, I hear you. I just think Ohio – I'm still going with Ohio State, though.
Okay.
I'm going with Ohio State.
I'm
going
to be cautious. I'm going to say Ohio State, but very close game.
Gotcha.
Just wrapping up real quickly, a couple. How about California at Northwestern? Northwestern, obviously, Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Looking for some kind of spark. What are your thoughts?
I think Northwestern beats Cal in that one.
Okay, very good. I'll go Northwestern too. James Madison at Maryland. James Madison, a lot of pro talent coming out of there. Earl Watson from the Cardinals, if you remember the lineman.
Yep.
Who are you liking in this game?
I think Maryland can possibly put up a fight against Michigan State. So I'm going to choose Maryland in that game.
Okay, I'll go Maryland too. And then Western Michigan at Purdue. Do you think they beat Purdue with that losing streak?
No, I think Purdue wins that one.
I'm going to say Western wins that first game.
You're going to choose Western
in that one.
I'm going to go with Purdue in that game.
State and Indiana.
Indiana.
Indiana, me too. Northern Iowa at Iowa.
Iowa. Going with Iowa.
Northern Iowa. I think it's going to be close. Great basketball team.
You think it's going to be a good game?
It's hit or miss, but I think it's going to be closer than people think. Florida Atlantic at Nebraska. Number 22.
Nebraska.
All right, and then that's actually it, Al.
Yeah.
That's the Big Ten.
Well, an exciting slate this weekend. Again, 1 minute left in the show. Again, folks, I want to remind you all that we will have our pregame show. We have a plethora of guests, MSU Deputy Athletic Director Greg Iani, James Moore, former MSU running back, LSJ's Brian Callaway, John Madden, the MSU band director. We're going to be broadcasting from 6 to 7 p.m., right on campus. If you're on campus, hey, come say hi to us. I would love to shake your hand, meet you know, share a picture or two, okay? So come on over. We'll be on campus right in front of the music building. I'll be co-hosting Current State along with, of course, the host of Current State, Mark Bayshore. It should be a great time, folks, as we get ready and get you all set for tonight's matchup, Michigan State versus Jacksonville State at 7:30 p.m. at Spartan Stadium, folks. Be safe, enjoy the game, and hey, we'll see you after. We'll see you on Monday as we have a best of show on Labor Day, folks. Thanks so much again. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic time at the game and a beautiful Labor Day weekend, folks. Be easy.